the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to rightly see us.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday, July the 12th. We're coming to you live, and it's time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. This is a game we've been playing for decades with our listeners. We like to gather sound bites from our guests. Sometimes it's just stunning how many choices we have that are sound bite worthy. We need to kind of whittle it down to four every week, but we listen for these sound bites in the course of a broadcast week. We make a note, and then when Friday rolls around, we like to share with you what we think was especially good from our guests here at Issues Etc. And then you get to decide which one should be soundbite of the week by voting 1-877-623-6943. Phone call voters get to vote first, and we need to know who you are, where you listen, and which one you're voting for and why. You can also vote by sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We'll give away the LPR bundle package. That's a Luther Rose medallion courtesy of Ad Crucem, the I Have Issues t-shirt, and the Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad. It goes to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Soundbite number one this week comes from Pastor Hans Feeney. Here he is talking about the double standard for religion in the public square.
I think there's a very common mindset that people have that my philosophical presuppositions are not driven by religious ideology. So therefore, it's okay for them to be accepted into the public sphere. But your philosophical presuppositions that disagree with mine are driven by a religious ideology. Therefore, they're not welcome in the public arena. You see this, you know, for example, in things like as more and more local public libraries have been having drag queen story hour. And when people object to this, people say, oh, well, you have to keep your religious objections to yourself because that's the separation of church and state. Well, the idea that a drag queen is an inherently good thing, the idea that it's morally positive, or with a lot of this gender identity stuff, the idea that people have an inner gender that's not made up of matter, it's not biological in nature, it's not something you can look at under a microscope, is entirely a philosophical concept. Whether it's an organized religion or not, it's born out of a religious worldview and how one religiously views the concept of what it means to be human and what it means to be male and female. So, for example, the idea that everyone, say, has a right to health care, the idea that everyone, that we should care for everyone and his body. So that's a perfectly acceptable religious principle to bring into the public square if the conclusion is, therefore, you support the policies that I like. But anything else that's born from a Christian view, such as the dignity of human life, sanctity of marriage, things of that nature, suddenly that's not acceptable. There's a great amount of picking and choosing and a great amount of hypocrisy on that point.
That's soundbite number one, Pastor Hans Feeney, the double standard for religion in the public square. Vote for it by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org, our Twitter address at issuesetc, and our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Soundbite number two is from Dr. Richard Gamble, answering the question, what is civil religion?
Civil religion elevates certain events, documents, ideas, people, symbols, to the level of a national religion in the sense, in the very strict sense of a religion binding a community together. Now, there's another side to civil religion, and it's the side that I'm more interested in as a historian and a writer and a teacher. The other side has the most effect on Christianity. Civil religion takes religion and borrows from it or appropriates from it. Think about how many images from the Old and New Testament, how much of the language of the Old and New Testament has been appropriated by America. And that started way back in colonial times. A phrase like God's new Israel, a chosen people, the phrase city on a hill. These words are taken from their original sources, and this might be a little provocative, but taken away from their rightful owners and turned to new purposes. And what I'm looking mostly at is turned to the purposes of the modern nation state. So it's civil religion in that sense, the appropriation of religion for the purposes of the state.
That's soundbite number two, Dr. Richard Gamble, What is Civil Religion? Feel free to give that one a vote as well, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Soundbite number three is from Dr. John Pless. Recently talked with him about Luther's Small Catechism and Christian discipleship. Here he is on the Ten Commandments in the Christian's life.
The commandments are to be cherished and kept for two reasons. First, they guide us away from self-chosen good works. We are too inventive, the old Adam is, with his own imagination. He believes that he can figure out what would be pleasing to God. And that's where we go astray. There we go back to the Ten Commandments. There God tells us what a God-pleasing life of faith lived in love actually looks like. And so the Ten Commandments guide us away from self-chosen good works, and they direct us to works that God has commanded for the well-being and service of the neighbor. We talk about that in terms of Christian vocation. The Christian husband doesn't have to say, well, should I love and honor my wife? No, you know that. God has revealed that in his word, in the sixth commandment. You don't have to say, well, should I help the neighbor in his bodily need? No, God has already revealed that, the fifth commandment, and again in seventh commandment. And so the commandments are not given as a way of salvation. When we're troubled by our sin, we do not flee to the commandments, Luther says, but to the gospel. We keep the commandments for the sake of the neighbor and show God's own generosity and love for the neighbor as we do the things that God commands, not for salvation, but for service of the neighbor.
That's soundbite number three, Dr. John Pless, The Ten Commandments in the Christian's Life, 1-877-623-6943. Send us that email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Here's soundbite number four, comes from Pastor Brian Wolf Miller, talking about the ending of Matthew's gospel.
In the church that is gathered around the name of Jesus and the body and blood of Jesus, who is gathered around the Lord's gifts of baptism and the preaching of this good news and the forgiveness of sins, Jesus is here. I mean, Jesus is with us. He's the one that promised, I'll never leave you or forsake you, so that this kingdom that he came to establish has been established, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This kingdom will stand. It will stand until he comes back to claim his own. It is wonderful. It is absolutely wonderful that Matthew leaves us with the words of Jesus echoing in our ears. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Which is an amazing thing. Well, can you imagine the disciples sitting there saying, you have all authority? All authority is given to you? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to overthrow the Romans? Are you going to finally establish this military kingdom that we've been hoping for? Are you going to end sickness and poverty and suffering and all this? And Jesus says, okay, here's what I want to do with all this authority. I want you guys to go, and I want you to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I want you to teach, and I want you to trust that I'm going to be with you. These words are the lifeblood of the church and the hope of the Christian. We call it the Great Commission, but it's so much more than that. It's the institution of baptism, but it's the institution of the kingdom of Jesus that waits for his return.
That's soundbite number four, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, the ending of Matthew's Gospel. It's time to vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, and this break is a great time to do so. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address at issuesetc and our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Your votes for Soundbite of the Week next.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
If you appreciate Issues Etc., Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're collecting your votes for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Will it be Pastor Hans Feeney on the double standard for religion in the public square? Dr. Richard Gamble, what is civil religion? Dr. John Pless on the Ten Commandments in the Christian's life? Or Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on the ending of Matthew's Gospel? Tracy votes first. She's listening in Bellevue, Nebraska, voting for soundbite number three. Dr. John Pless on the Ten Commandments in the Christian life. Through the law comes the knowledge of sin. We see how we have failed according to the commandments. The law doesn't save us, but shows us our need for a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. He alone has kept the whole law, and it is through him that we are able to do anything that is pleasing to God. Dr. Pless reminds us that we are to look to Christ, not to the law, for our salvation. And in our vocation, God gives us his commands so that we know how to live to serve the neighbor. This is our daily walk of faith, to love God and love our neighbor. Thank you very much for that vote there, Tracy. Thanks for listening in Nebraska. Lee listens in New Haven, Missouri. I love Pastor Wolfmiller, but soundbite number one from Pastor Feeney really hits home with the current debate on so many cultural issues today. Liberal groups only want to push their agenda and try to avoid any real debate based upon their attitude toward religion. If only the liberals could understand that they have a religion too. Sadly, their philosophical worldview has no basis in basic morality. Thank you very much for your vote as well. He says, my name is Benjamin. I'm 22 years old and I live in Portage, Indiana. My vote goes to soundbite number three, Dr. Pless. I love hearing his lectures. And his interpretation of the Ten Commandments sounded like a 21st century large catechism. I've re-listened to this podcast twice already, and therefore it gets my vote. Thank you very much, Benjamin. Thanks for listening there in Indiana. In California, James says, my vote is for soundbite Number one, Pastor Feeney, the double standard for religion in the public square. I was reminded last night that this double standard is not because of us directly, but as a result of the one we confess, as Jesus says in John 15:18, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. We should not cease or withdraw from our public confession. As Peter states in Acts 5:29, we must obey God rather than men, but with gentleness and compassion for our neighbor, bear whatever punishment the world throws at us, and like the apostles and our forerunners in the faith, rejoice that we are counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. Thank you for that vote as well. Brandon is listening in Austin, Texas. I vote for Pastor Feeney. I ought to be accepted that any statement of objectivity has a philosophical basis. Whether that is from Christian philosophy or non-Christian philosophy does not change its dogmatic nature. Christians must learn not to cave in on this notion that our ideas are not welcome due to some arbitrary declaration of what is religion and what is not. Very well put, Brandon. Thanks for listening in Texas. In Riverside, California, Robert says, Jesus is the receiving of the authority in heaven and on earth is an end and a beginning because his words, the disciples are baptized and teach. Most of them were martyred, and they loved Jesus and trusted him to the end. They left a legacy for us. Matthew's gospel tells us how Jesus taught and healed. We learn how he suffered, died, was buried, and rose again on the third day. When he speaks of authority, he has ascended and sits at the right hand of God, as the creed proclaims. This treasure of the gospel is given us to share, and the Holy Spirit helps people to be convinced of sin and to understand. Pastor Wolf Miller's talk left me with the conviction to keep on reading the word and sharing with others. Riley listens in Spokane, Washington. Soundbite number four, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. I appreciate the clear articulation of the gospel and the kingdom and how they go together. Thanks, Riley. William listens in Austin, Texas. My vote is for Pastor Wolfmiller. First, as he always does, he explains the scripture passage in a marvelous way. Second, my vote is to welcome him to St. Paul there in Austin. We're glad to have him as our pastor. Ardith listens in North Carolina, voting for soundbite number four, Pastor Wolf Miller. Amidst the cultural chaos and confusion surrounding us, his words provide an invaluable reminder that the church, that Jesus is here. He is with us. His kingdom has been established and will stand until he comes back to claim us. I loved how he put it, that the words of the Great Commission are the very lifeblood of the church and the hope of the Christian. I need to hear this again and again. Many thanks. William listens in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I'm voting for Feeney's soundbite, though Catechism and Wolfmiller's comments on Jesus' commission and his kingdom through baptism are more than the cure. He says, but I work daily with people in the double standard of gender politics and Christianity. I know in the past political benefits went to being conservative Christian, but now it is expedient to be LGBT. Thank you very much, William, and thanks for listening in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Sam listens in Sampsonville, South Carolina. Sam says, this week I'll vote for soundbite number one with Pastor Hans Feeney. Humans are inescapably religious. To say anything regard right or wrong, good or bad, is to make a religious judgment. This is why the ancient Indian practice of sati, or the burning of widows, was considered good and noble by largely Hindu population, but was considered abhorrent by the English when they came to India. This is why human sacrifice was very commonly practiced among my Germanic and Celtic ancestors, as well as here in the New World among various native tribes. Cannibalism was practiced in many parts of the world in ancient times. This is why these various groups found these practices to be good and normal, and that our modern and Western sensibilities are horrific. Our consciences are shaped by our religions. Even an American or European atheist is still deeply shaped by Christian sensibilities. The gospel has had such a profound effect on the Western world, most atheists would find the burning of widows to be outrageous. So those Christians who imagine that we can have some neutral common ground with secularists are going along with the charade that the secularists play. The secularists want us to believe that they are not religious. We have been able to afford to play this game with them for about the last 100 years because our culture has been drawing off its Christian capital, but we're about to draw that account down. When the real persecution begins, Christians will finally come to terms with what Jesus said 2,000 years ago. Those who aren't with him are against him, and that's a religious position. There is no neutrality. As a Reformed Christian transitioning to Lutheranism, I am heartened to finally hear a Lutheran speaking like Hans Feeney. Thanks, Todd. Thank you very much for that vote as well. Diane listens in Rock Hill, Missouri. Hi, Diane.
Hi, I want to vote for number three. I think number two, one and two are great distinctions that we need to know about. And, of course, baptism is always something we need to hear, and it's a good. But John Pless, the way he laid it out, and in our busy world, he laid it out real basic, and it's just good.
Thank you, Diane. Thanks for listening in Missouri. The winner this week, according to your votes, is soundbite number one, Pastor Hans Feeney, talking about the double standard for religion in the public square.
I think there's a very common mindset that people have that my philosophical presuppositions are not driven by religious ideology. So therefore, it's okay for them to be accepted into the public sphere. But your philosophical presuppositions that disagree with mine are driven by religious ideology. Therefore, they're not welcome in the public arena. You see this, for example, in things like as more and more local public libraries have been having drag queen story hour. And when people object to this, people say, oh, well, you have to keep your religious objections to yourself because that's the separation of church and state. Well, the idea that a drag queen is an inherently good thing, the idea that it's morally positive, or with a lot of this gender identity stuff, the idea that people have an inner gender that's not made up of matter, it's not biological in nature, it's not something you can look at under a microscope, is entirely a philosophical concept. Whether it's an organized religion or not, it's born out of a religious worldview and how one religiously views the concept of what it means to be human and what it means to be male and female. So, for example, the idea that everyone, say, has a right to health care, the idea that everyone, that we should care for everyone and his body. So that's a perfectly acceptable religious principle to bring into the public square if the conclusion is, therefore, you support the policies that I like. But anything else that's born from a Christian view, such as the dignity of human life, sanctity of marriage, things of that nature, suddenly that's not acceptable. There's a great amount of picking and choosing and a great amount of hypocrisy on that point.
That's the winner of Soundbite of the Week. Soundbite number one, Pastor Hans Feeney, the double standard for religion in the public square. Thanks to everybody who voted. The LPR bundle package goes to James in California. Send us your mailing address and your shirt size. Talk back at issuesztc.org. To help you prepare for the divine service this weekend, check out the free resources produced by LCMS Worship. You'll find Hymn of the Day studies, lectionary readings and summaries, prayers, and more. Just go to lcms.org/worship. lcms.org/worship. Next week on Issues Etc., we'll discuss marriage equality with Dr. Ryan Anderson. We'll find out from Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse what Jeffrey Epstein, Harvey Weinstein, and Theodore McCarrick all have in common. And we'll continue our series on the Lutheran Confessions, talking with Pastor Paul McCain about Christian questions with their answers from Luther's Small Catechism. Pastor Feeney is absolutely right. Let's just be honest. There are really two religions at play here. There's Christianity, and then there is the religion of man, whatever form it takes. It just so happens that here in the late part of the 20th and early part of the 21st century, that religion of man has found a new form in a secularism, a progressive secularism that claims to have nothing to do with God. Maybe atheism, maybe agnosticism, maybe just apatheism, but it's just another new form of the old religion of man. And don't fool yourself that these two religions can coexist in the world together. The religion of man will always seek to snuff out the religion of God, that is Christianity, God revealed in Jesus Christ. It starts with little things like you can't bring that opinion into the public square because that's a religious view. And we know the inconsistency of that. But it doesn't stop with the little things. If you've heard a pastor say, I don't care what I can and can't say in the public square, as long as they don't come in here and tell me I can't preach the gospel. Dear foolish pastor, by the time they come in and tell you that you can't preach the gospel, it will be too late. So we recognize that there is a spiritual warfare here. There is no neutrality and there's no sitting on the sidelines. The longer you sit, the less you will be able to say up to and including that precious gospel. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach.
Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.